Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're here again today with a very special guest going to be here with us all week long, Patrick Rice, co-founder and executive director of Encounter Ministries. Patrick is a good friend that I've come to know over the years and just really, really impressed. A next generation major lay leader in the church, you know, that the Lord is sending to have impact. And he's married to a wonderful woman named Emily, and they have six beautiful children. The Lord's done a lot even with those six little children. Maybe we'll get some chance to talk about it this week. But anyway, Patrick, welcome back.
Thank you, Peter. It's good to be here.
Yeah. So friends, if you didn't have a chance to listen to yesterday's program, Patrick just shared a very powerful and moving story of his own real conversion and awakening to the Lord. And so we're going to pick up from there. I just want to ask you, Patrick, as a starting point, it was such a dramatic moment for you in Gomming when right before the Blessed Sacrament, for the first time, you really had a major encounter of the Lord revealing himself to you. And that was a game changer. What happened to you sort of immediately after that? And then how'd your family relate to it, but friends? And how did your life change exactly? What happened?
For the next 3 days, I was able to see all of my sin from like a new perspective. I felt the pain that it caused God and others and basically wept for 3 days. I would go to class and I'd have like, I remember there'd be like a pool of tears on the desk. I'm taking notes, doing my stuff, but I'm just weeping. And 3 days later, they had a confession opportunity and I went and just confessed all of my sins and got back right with God. And that was renewing. And then people were just asking me, because I was a known skeptic on campus, and people just asked me tons of questions. And I was just telling them exactly what I saw and experienced. And people were saying, oh my gosh, like, I knew you before. I've kind of doubted whether this is real. Like, I can never doubt this again. Thank you for sharing. And so I saw the power of sharing testimony was very clear, and it was exciting as well. And then getting home to my family, it was a complete 180. And I just really repented to my parents. And I had a new profound gratitude for everything that they had given me that, like the prodigal son who had left the home, didn't appreciate or acknowledge. Yeah, it brought forth real renewal. It also had an impact on my siblings as well. And so yeah, it brought forth tons of grace, and then it set me up for finishing strong at Franciscan University. So I was finishing my junior year, and then my senior year, I ended up meeting my future wife, Emily, going into our senior year, and we would actually get engaged at the end of our senior year.
Oh, that's awesome,
And start to take a path of serving the church that I had rejected, and Jesus brought me back into.
What were those first steps of service, do you mean?
Yeah.
Like, what happened?
I always thought I would be a lawyer. People are always saying, hey, you're really well-spoken. You're really good at arguing points. You should be a lawyer. And I was like, yes, and I want to make money. And so I got a job clerking in a law firm, and I hated it. They're actually going to like invest in me and get me through law school, and I come back and work at the law firm. It was one of the largest law firms in Columbus, and I was miserable. I got an email from a guy, one of my household brothers, and I ended up joining a household, a Franciscan who is now a priest, but he had an opportunity to take a teaching at a Catholic high school in California, and he couldn't take it. They were desperate. It was August, and classes were starting in 2 weeks. And they asked him to find another person if he couldn't take it. And I'm the first person that came to his mind. And so I ended up interviewing and getting hired like the same day. And I wanted to teach in a Catholic school where I had lost my faith and be a missionary. And so I did that. I taught for 2 years in a Catholic high school in Southern California. And it was 2006 to 2008. And then I ended up moving back, and I came to love the intellectual life of the church. And I never really experienced like the riches of especially St. Thomas Aquinas. And I really wanted to study St. Thomas Aquinas. And so I got a master's degree and heavily formed in the philosophy and theology of St. Thomas Aquinas. And then I ended up taking a job as a youth minister. And so I did youth ministry in Cincinnati, Ohio for 9 years, or for Cincinnati and then Columbus for 9 years.
What did you learn about mission in the church, the working of spiritual gifts, the Lord's help in the Holy Spirit, all that as you were a young man over those 9 years raising your family and sharing the gospel. What was it like? How would you describe it?
Well, what I learned as a youth minister, you come to know these kids very intimately. And I was highly invested. I did tons of retreats. I spent more than 40 hours a week doing it. I loved it because I knew, basically, my experience growing up is everyone's experience in the American Catholic world, probably the world. If you don't have a personal encounter with Jesus, like by the time you're leaving home, it's not looking good for you statistically. Yeah. And yeah. So my goal was like, I want to lead these kids and create space for them to have the same kind of encounter, life-changing encounter with Jesus that I had. Whether or not it's in the Eucharist or how it is, that they know that they know that they know that they are loved by God, that they're encountering his love in a way that they can never deny. That was basically the game plan. And it was effective and it worked.
What kind of things did you do?
So yeah, I did a lot of, you might... Might sound comical, but I did a lot of praise and worship and adoration, the same thing that I experienced for mine. We went to Steubenville conferences. We have retreats. I feel like at one point it kind of hit a wall where it was like, you're doing this, you're doing this, you're doing this. Some people are having experiences, other people aren't. And then I met a couple who had a very strong prophetic gifting. And when they prayed for me, they asked, like, can we pray for you? And I said, sure. And then I didn't know what they were going to do. And they started speaking words over my life that it's like only God could have known that. And it made me feel that God was so present and so real through them. I felt that same kind of deep encounter I had with Jesus in the Eucharist through the words of these people. And it shocked, it blew me away.
So it was like they knew some things about you that they could not have known.
They couldn't have known.
And that helped you know that God knows you.
God knows me.
And he's talking to you.
And he has knows a plan. My circumstances right now, and he wants to be pointed and redirected to his plan. Because anxiety, fear, they come in. And when you're in anxiety and fear, you can't follow the way of
it's
the
paralyzing.
Lord. It's paralyzing.
Yeah, yeah.
And so the word of the Lord comes in through the community, through the gifts of the Spirit. It breaks through fear. I mean, St. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14:3, whoever prophesies speaks to others for their upbuilding, encouragement, and consolation. This word encouragement is like to give courage, and courage is a gift of the Spirit, which actually gives you the grace to overcome fear, to be fearless in the face of what's fearful. And for me, I needed that so much because there is so much fear that had been building up in my life. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is so powerful for me. What would happen if this happened with my teens? And so I started receiving discipleship from this couple for many years, and then sharing what had happened, how I was being transformed, creating space for that to happen with the various youth groups I was running. And it was like the level of personal encounters and conversions were going up immensely when I started incorporating the spiritual gifts.
Yeah, how about that? And were you like the only guy around at the moment in the Catholic world that you were connected to that was exercising spiritual gifts in that kind
of
way?
No, so when I was in my my mid-20s, I went on it was early on with Unbound Ministry.
Neil Lozano.
I had a girl in my youth group that when she would come to these adoration events that we would put on, she would like lock down and start doing crazy stuff. And it was, if you know what demonic manifestations are, yeah, it was that. And so, you know,
there was a spiritual battle going on, and the devil had some kind of hold on her.
Yep. The priests at the parish didn't really know what to do. And the only idea was like, go to the exorcist. So we were like, do you want to go to the exorcist? Like, no, like that's crazy. And then the exorcist said, yeah, she's going to have to go to a doctor and get a note that she's, nothing's biologically wrong. And they wanted her to go to a psychologist to make sure she is not psychologically messed up. And there was all these hoops before you could even talk to an exorcist that was insurmountable for her. And I remember looking like, what resources are out there? And then I was given the book Unbound by my mother-in-law. My mother-in-law, Jane, had received this book Unbound, which had just come out a few years before that. And I read this, I'm like, wow, this is amazing. There's actual practical equipping. And then I found out that Neil and Janet Lozano were doing a training in Indiana and about an hour away from me. So I went there. Most of the people, Peter, they were like as old as you. They were in the 60s, and older. And there's only one other guy in his 20s. It was a guy named Father Matthias Thalen.
Okay.
He was a newly ordained priest, mid to late 20s, and he and I instantly connected. He had a similar thing going on. A parishioner was dealing with demonic stuff and never gotten training in the seminary for this. We both got equipped and we were able to receive deliverance prayer for ourselves. And then I was equipped to go back and do that. But at that time, like a deep friendship formed with Father Matthias. We started spending that time on that retreat and just connected on every level, not just a spiritual level and a desire for ministry and to build the kingdom of God. He's the first person I met that was like all in for the Holy Spirit. And there was like always kind of a fear I'd see with the Holy Spirit. Like, we love the Holy Spirit, but we don't want to be crazy like, you know, the 1970s charismatics that, you know, brought in banners and wanted to dance on the liturgy. And there was all this fear about excesses. And he was like, I want all of Holy Spirit. I want all of his gifts. We're not going to allow the abuses and errors of other people to influence what Holy Spirit wants to do right now. And it started a friendship. And that was in 2011. We stayed in contact for a long time. And then he invited me to go to a conference in 2015. It was 10 years ago right now. It was in the summer. And all on the gifts of the Holy Spirit with a guy named Dr. Randy Clark, who was involved in the, his ministry is called Global Awakening. And his thesis advisor at the seminary, Dr. Mary Healy, had just gone on a mission trip with him to Brazil, had a life-changing experience, and encouraged Father Matthias to go and experience this and be blessed. And so he invited me to go, and it was a life-changing moment for us. We saw healings happening that we had never seen before. I remember going into a healing service, there's a guy wheeling himself in. Just there, about 5,000 people. And then I remember coming out of the healing service, the same guy carrying the wheelchair over his head, glorifying God. And so many miracles like that. And he, Father Matthias, was also pressing into healing ministry at the time. We'd both been discipled in for the prophetic gifts. And this was a moment like Damien Stain from a Catholic evangelist in England played a big role in that. And then we got to connect with Dr. Randy Clark and experience even more. So healing would become a big part of what God was doing in our
life. Let's talk about that tomorrow, some of that stuff, kind of what it meant, what it looked like, how much it changed you. But why don't you just say a word of how people can connect with Encounter Ministries and what you're doing?
Yeah. So July 16th to the 18th in Toledo, Ohio, at the Glass City Convention Center, we're having the Encounter Conference. You're going to be speaking at that with us. And you can learn more about that at encounterconference.org. And if you'd like to learn about our School of Ministry, you can check it out at encounterschool.org.
Very good, friends. If you've been blessed by this conversation today, I encourage you to reach out to some of your friends, help them tune in tomorrow, because we're going to dig deeper into what exactly Patrick and Father Matthias were experiencing and how the Lord led them to the current moment. So God bless you. Hope you can join us.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Does God Judge? Wow, what a question, but it's a relevant question. Scripture says we were all appointed to die once and then the judgment. We know for sure each one of us has an appointment in our future, and it takes Scripture, Catechism, and the saints to help us understand the beauty of God's plan and how we can look forward to the judgment as followers of Christ. If you'd like to get a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/FOE.